Oh, yes, there's no question. The pressure is building, and we are going against the tide. But, friends, we will not only hold our ground, we will make progress and swim against the tide in Jesus' name.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, friends, I am absolutely pumped today, and we are going to have a tremendous show. Be ready to be encouraged. Be ready to be strengthened. Be ready. Just be ready. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call to get into the program today. It is Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And I've got some comments on the amazing story that is unfolding around Chick-fil-A. Going to have a guest on a little later in the broadcast today, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, who I'll introduce to you in a little while. But he has been blasted for things he never said after the tragic massacre in Colorado. We'll set the record straight as well. Whole bunch of things to cover. Black pastors calling on the president and the Democratic Party to distance themselves from their call to redefine marriage and saying it's going to cost them the black vote or many black voters if they do not change their stance. Whole lot of things to cover. Some amazing things I want to share with you, read to you. But first, a lesson from my vacation days in Maryland. I did go fishing with the family. I'm not a fisherman. My dad was a senior lawyer in the New York Supreme Court. I was born in Manhattan, raised on Long Island, spent a lot of time in the water, going to the beach in the summer and swimming and playing with my friends there. But I was not a hunter or fisherman and never really had an interest in going fishing, let alone hunting. Therefore, my son-in-law Jimmy said, "We're going hunting." And we did it Sunday night with the family. So he and his wife, Jen, our daughter, and then their two kids, Connor and Riley, 8 and 5. We all went fishing, Nancy and I, so 6 of us. And no lessons, though. No major lessons from the fishing trip, except a lot of fun. And a lesson for Jimmy, if you want to have a nice, quiet time fishing, don't take everybody with you at the same time. But I did learn a lesson, or let's just say a spiritual truth, was driven home to me very emphatically. One day, Jimmy, Connor, and I went down to a quiet place in the river. There was absolutely nobody there, and we went out to the river. Jimmy got out his fishing equipment and waded deep into the river, and then he was doing some fishing. Connor put his goggles on, had a snorkel, and he was trying to swim around and see what he could find. And then I just got in the water and walked out there. So many rocks and things, you had to wear some kind of shoes. I had my sneakers on. It was beautiful. Oh, it was quiet, peaceful, relaxing. Great, great time with the family. But at one point, Connor said, "Grandpa, I'm going to swim to you." And he tried to, but he didn't make any progress. And that's when I realized that the tide was strongly against us. I said, "Hey, buddy, I'll stand over here. You come this way." And of course, he got to me. So I started to swim. I started to swim, literally, and I was amazed at the force of the tide. This was just, you know, a little river somewhere. It was not some major current, but it was enough that I could barely go forward. And then I said, "I'm just going to stand here." But even to stand, I couldn't hold my ground until I found a big rock, and big enough that I could plant one foot in front of it and put the other foot kind of standing on it. And then with effort, I could hold my ground. And I thought, wow, there are some clear spiritual lessons for us to learn from that. We come back, I want to share those with you and then give you just some shocking, crazy updates in terms of what's happening with the bigoted attack against Chick-fil-A. Friends, we're not only standing our ground here, we're swimming against the tide. We're making progress in Jesus' name.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. 866-348-7884 to get into the conversation, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on The Line of Fire. Okay, standing in that river in Maryland with the current firmly against me, two things were drilled home to me. Number one, the amount of concerted effort that it makes to swim against the tide and go against the grain. Now, look, it's part of my calling as a leader in the body to sound the alarm, to move forward, to take on opposition. I don't mean people. I mean spiritual opposition, to confront falsehood and to exalt Jesus in the midst of things, and thereby to swim against the tide every day of my life. But it's really the calling for every believer. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means go against the grain. So in point of fact, all of us are faced with this. The world is against us. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. He said, if you were of the world, the world would love you because it loves its own. But he said, you're not of the world. I've taken you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. We live in this world, but we do not bow down to the system of the world or the spirit of the age. So I was reminded, it's really challenging. It takes a concerted effort, and it's way easier to just float. Just float. You, friend, you put yourself in neutral and you will be pulled by the current. You put yourself in neutral. You do not engage in spiritual warfare and take your stand and plant yourself firmly in the truth and determined to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. I can guarantee you, you'll be carried away by the tide. You'll be carried away by the tide of the world and the tide of society. The other thing, though, that struck me was just to hold your ground and not be moved. Forget make progress against the tide. Forget go upstream, so to say. But just to hold your ground requires a deep commitment. And when I found that big rock, because no matter how far I walked in the river, I could walk. I mean, sometimes it would get much deeper and then it would get more shallow. That made it kind of funny to navigate, a little disorienting at times. But as I stood there, and I put my foot on that rock, then I could just be calm. I could be at peace in the midst of it, and I would not lose an inch. And of course, I immediately thought of the truth of God's word being the rock, being the foundation, being that which is unshakable, being that which is immovable. And when we're grounded there, it doesn't matter what our emotions say. It doesn't matter what arguments come against us. It doesn't matter what lies are presented to us. We're grounded in the truth. John 17:17, Jesus prayed to his Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So Chick-fil-A, let's think of this. CEO of Starbucks proudly donates large sums of money to redefine marriage, to back same-sex so-called marriage. Microsoft gives large amounts of money. This is in their home state of Washington. Major companies across the country say, yeah, we want to redefine marriage. And they're hailed for it. They're praised for it. Oh, wonderful. Even though 31 out of 31 states in the union have voted to say marriage is the union of a man and a woman, most recently North Carolina with a 61-39% vote, overwhelming vote, saying we're not going to redefine marriage. And despite media distortions and lies and misconceptions, America is still divided over the question of redefining marriage. As much as people are away from God and away from truth, they still recognize a large percentage of the population, if not the majority, then a near majority still says, no, we're not going to redefine marriage. And if they had accurate facts and information, they'd stand all the more clearly for marriage. But all these other companies, Amazon, I deal with all the time. I've got my books on there, and then we'll use this to get our message out. The CEO of Amazon just donated $2.5 million to redefine marriage or for gay activists. Yeah, good for you. Okay. Then Chick-fil-A's given money for years to focus on the family and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and groups like that. Blasted bigotry! How dare you! And in an interview with a Baptist Post or something like that, Dan Cathy, the president and CEO, said, yeah, well, guilty as charged. We base our company on biblical values, and absolutely, we serve everyone the same, and we don't discriminate with who we hire and who we serve in terms of sexual orientation or gender or ethnicity or race or anything else. Of course. But this is the position of the CEO. An impossible bigot! Let's boycott! No, anyone's free to boycott. I mean, I don't get stuff at Starbucks just as a matter of conscience because of the way they responded to me about gay pride events in our city years ago. I don't go there, and even though I'm not a coffee drinker, they have enough other products I can get, but I don't. That's just my personal matter of conscience. I'm not going to hurt their business, all right? So someone wants to boycott Chick-fil-A, I want to boycott Starbucks, whatever. That's personal choice, convictions, conscience, do it. But the outcry against Chick-fil-A in the name of tolerance and diversity is absolutely and completely absurd. So I wrote an article called The Rise of the Intolerance Brigade. It's posted now on onenewsnow.com, on the homepage, onenewsnow.com, The Rise of the Intolerance Brigade. And I say, in recent days, the extreme intolerance, bigotry, and exclusivity of some gay activists and their straight allies has been on prominent display in their attacks against Chick-fil-A. What makes this all the more ironic, not to mention Orwellian, is that their campaign is being carried out in the name of tolerance, inclusion, and diversity. As expressed by jurist Marvin Frankel, the powerless call out for tolerance, achieving power they may soon forget. This is what I wrote about in A Queer Thing Happened to America in the chapter Big Brother Was Watching and He Really Is Gay. Friends, this is the ultimate assault on freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion in our country. So since March, students at New York University have been circulating a petition calling for Chick-fil-A to be removed from their campus for human rights violations. And classic doublespeak, you use one word and you mean the opposite by it and you don't even know you're doing it. Or sometimes you do it intentionally. In classic doublespeak, the petition states that the fast food company doesn't belong there because, quote, NYU prides itself on being a diverse, open, and inclusive campus community. Hang on. NYU prides itself on being a diverse, open, and inclusive campus community. Therefore, we're going to ban Chick-fil-A because we are so diverse, open, and inclusive? What kind of double talk is that? Chad Griffin, the new president of the Human Rights Campaign, world's largest gay activist organization, stated, as the country moves towards inclusion, Chick-fil-A has staked out a decidedly stuck-in-the-past mentality. So as the company moves towards inclusion, it gets more bigoted. I get it. As the company moves towards inclusion, then a CEO of a fine company is not allowed to say, I support marriage as the union of a man and woman. That's what you mean by inclusion? Chad Griffin further stated, apparently with a straight face, that fair-minded consumers can now make up their own minds whether they want to support an openly discriminatory company. So Chad Griffin's version of, quote, inclusive America means that it's either the gay way or the highway. And then Boston Mayor Thomas Menino, who I understand has since recognized that he does not have a legal right to tell Chick-fil-A they can't be in the city. Chick-fil-A doesn't belong in Boston. You can't have a business in the city of Boston that discriminates against a population. But you can't have a mayor in the city of Boston who discriminates against a population, namely the scores of millions of Americans who do not want to redefine marriage. And you can have a mayor in the city of Boston who discriminates against a business, namely Chick-fil-A, an exemplary company that's broken no laws, including laws of discrimination. But listen to what he says. And this is with the eloquence of a George Orwell novel like 1984, Animal Farm. Mayor Menino said, we're an open city. We're a city that's at the forefront of inclusion. And therefore, Chick-fil-A is not welcome here because we're an open city. Friends, this is so ridiculously mind-boggling. How about this example of unconscious doublespeak from New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who is in a same-sex so-called marriage? She explained why she, too, wanted Chick-fil-A kicked off the NYU campus. Quote, we're a city that believes our diversity is our greatest strength, and we will fight anything and anyone that runs counter to that. So Chick-fil-A, we're so diverse that we'll run you out of our city, and we're so open and inclusive that we have no room for a business like yours. The mayor of San Francisco said, oh, yeah, Chick-fil-A is not coming our way because we believe in equality. Did these folks even realize what they're saying? We are so committed to openness that we'll kick you out. We are so committed to inclusion that we will exclude you. We are so diverse that we have no room for you. The outrage of this is significant. Oh, and by the way, Chick-fil-A is doing a whole lot more business than even normally. We come back, I'll be joined by Dr. Jerry Newcomb. You've got to hear the truth about what has happened to my brother and friend.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. I've got a bunch more things I want to mention to you about Chick-fil-A. Some more of the irony, some more of the doublespeak that's going on. Just a reminder, again, for all of our friends in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, this Friday night, 7:30 p.m. at Whole Word Fellowship in Oakton, Virginia, on Vale Road, we're going to have a special listeners' rally. I've got a message burning in my heart to share with you, some info on our ministry that's going to bless you and encourage you over there to sign books as well. 7:30 p.m. For more info, that's this Friday night, go to askdrbrown.org and just look at the itinerary on the bottom of the page there. Okay, next Tuesday, we will have a very special broadcast, the first hour, with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. He is the co-host and spokesman for Truth in Action Ministries, worked side by side with Dr. James Kennedy for many years. He is the co-author with Peter Loback of the national bestseller George Washington's Sacred Fire. And he's going to join us next week on Tuesday to talk about how the Bible actually shaped America. It's going to be a fascinating broadcast. We'll have him on for an entire hour, God willing. But I just wanted Dr. Newcomb to join me briefly to set the record straight about something that's happened recently that's actually gotten some national attention. So, Jerry, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Good to be with you.
All right. Great to be with you, sir. You and I had similar thinking right after the tragic massacre in Colorado, the absence of the consciousness of God in our nation, the absence of the fear of God. But then you took it even further and talked about the fear of God, talked about the reality of hell and the effect that that has on the conscience of a nation, and wrote an article that I read on One News Now. I'm sure it was circulated in other places. So what was the basic message that you were conveying with that article?
The basic point of that article was that because we have lost that fear of God, we have lost the cognizance, really, of hell as a reality. Because of that, there is no fear that people have. And so sometimes frustrated people will take a gun or whatever, and they'll just start blowing away total strangers, and then they'll kill themselves, and then they'll think that's it. But that, as I said in that article, that's like going from the frying pan into the fire. I mean, hell is real. There's no new revelation from God that has said, oh, all those things that we read about in the Bible about hell, those aren't true anymore. They no longer apply. And so in our politically incorrect day, politically correct milieu, it's not popular to bring up hell, but I think it's important. And I had some quotes in that article from some of the early constitutions of the United States, for some of the different states, where they were saying that in order for somebody to even be run for political office in this state, they have to believe in a future life of rewards and punishments.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they viewed hell as a form of divine accountability. And George Washington, I also quoted him in his farewell address, he said that, basically, we're not going to have national morality in exclusion of religious principle. It just can't be sustained. And when you look at the example with the shooter, now, some people have said, well, but that guy grew up in a church, apparently. Well, lots of people grow up in a church that have totally rejected what the Bible reveals about these things. But I really think that we need a lot more God-fearing. I also quoted a pastor in there, a black pastor whom I had interviewed many years ago when Judge Moore was in the news. And he was right in the same city as Judge Moore, Gadsden, Alabama. And he was saying how, he said, everybody in America should support Judge Moore and the Ten Commandments and the courtroom wall, because he said when they took prayer out of the schools, when they took away the fear of God in all these different places, you never heard about children bringing Uzis to school back then, but you know, now we have a problem. And he was saying we need more God-fearing in the land.
Yeah, and the thing that's amazing, you had quote after quote. That was the real enlightening thing for me, and that being a specialty area of yours, quote after quote from founding fathers, from key leaders. And before I know it, I'm sent a link from a friend, and it's an article in Huffington Post, and you're getting blasted. We don't have time to get into this in depth, and I wanted you to say what your article was actually about, but you're getting blasted as if you wrote an article saying the people who were shot in the movie theater are all going to hell. And
and that grieved me so much. What they did was, I was interviewed about 2 or 3 hours or so after the article was posted. And in the interview, you know, we were talking about the reality of heaven and hell, and we were talking about, you know, I mentioned the politically incorrect truth that we find in the Bible that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so, you know, I said, for the believer, death, even though unwelcome, of course, in the long run and even in the short run, is something that's positive. But for those who knowingly reject Jesus Christ, you know, there's bad consequences. But I wasn't talking specifically about the people in that theater, because I don't know those people. I don't know where they come from. Then on Monday morning, that was all on Friday. On Monday morning, I find out that I've been crucified and smeared in the liberal blogs. But even bigger than just blogs, it was the Huffington Post ran this story, and it said, evangelical leader, I didn't even know I was an evangelical leader,
right.
Evangelical leader Jerry Newcomb says, didn't say implied, but says, non-Christian victims of the shooting are going to hell,
yeah.
Or, you know, something to that effect, not going to heaven. I was just dumbfounded.
Just blatant lie.
Blatant lie, and they used me to inflict emotional pain on people at a time of suffering. So it infuriated me. It frustrated me. And thankfully, my brother, who was not even a believer in Jesus yet that I know of, but he is a very decent guy, and he wrote a column defending me, because he is a newspaper syndicate man, and he gave Arianna Huffington her stuff. I mean, her start back in the 90s, you know.
Let me just jump in, because we've got a break here, Jerry. I wanted you to come on and set the record straight, and then we have a whole hour to talk next week, and we can talk more about this if you like as well. But here's the important thing. I think the takeaway is that you hit a nerve. You hit a nerve, my friend, and by talking about the fear of God and by talking about hell, I mean, the one thing you can't talk about, you hit such a nerve. It brought this outrage of lies and misrepresentation against you, and I think that's what we need to take away. You hit a nerve, you spoke the truth, and it's something we've got to recover. Hey, I've got to run. I'm really looking forward to having you on the air with me next week for a whole hour. It's going to be fascinating. Tuesday, first hour of the broadcast. And friends, I can't underscore enough to you how crucial it is that you are equipped to deal with the things that we're facing today. Many of you still don't have a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Others have friends you want to give it to. So we're doing something special this week. Get the book, $25 postage paid, 700-page book, $25 postage paid. Plus, we'll give you the CD of my interview with a pro-gay reverend from a couple weeks ago, and make as many copies of that CD as you want to give away. All right? Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this, friends. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the broadcast. It is my joy to be with you, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It is Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. If you've got a Chick-fil-A in your area, make sure you give them your business. The amazing thing about Chick-fil-A is that you go in there, many of their stores, where you've got music playing, many of their fast food restaurants, they've got Christian music playing. And all of the ones I've been to, the folks working there are always polite, always helpful. In fact, sometimes you're surprised because you're not used to people saying my pleasure or thank you or happy to serve you. I just read a story from one woman who said that she was getting out of the car with her three-year-old and was having a hard time getting the kid, I guess, out of the seat. And one of the employees came over to help. She was just amazed to see it. But aside from the fact that they close on Sundays, their way to honor the Lord, and that they've given money to family organizations, they've unashamedly said, yeah, we support marriage. Support marriage. You have a man and woman. We support marriage. Uh-huh. Well, here. Just was sent this note about some celebrities who are weighing in. Mia Farrow. This is on the Think Progress website. Though this is real progress. There is no accurate way to reduce Chick-fil-A's words and actions to merely defending biblical principles. This is, in every way, shape, and form, a company proactively engaging against the interests of LGBT people, and this is the quite justified reason for outcry. Atlanta native Ed Helms, actor of The Office, Hangover, and Jeff Who Lives at Home, don't know any of those shows, but whatever, he tweeted, Chick-fil-A doesn't like gay people, so lame, hate to think what they do to the gay chickens, lost a loyal fan. Perez Hilton, I heard Chick-fil-A gives you diarrhea. Oh, this is just brilliant, brilliant stuff. I mean, this is brilliant, brilliant stuff from these notable celebrities. They need the Lord, obviously. But friends, let me just go on another moment about this doublespeak that's out there and the ridiculous, absurd, stupid attack on Chick-fil-A. How about this? Oh, wrong page. Here we go. Of course, the famous comments of Chicago Alderman Joe Moreno. He attributed his attack on Chick-fil-A to diversity, explaining to ABC News that his district is a very diverse ward, economically, racially, and diverse in sexual orientation, but not so diverse that it can welcome a Christian-based company. And then, of course, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, he said, Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. They disrespect our fellow neighbors and citizens. Perhaps he should have added, oh, no disrespect intended to my fellow neighbors and residents who oppose same-sex so-called marriage, and certainly no disrespect intended to Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, whose business is always welcome in our city. Hang on. Aside from the ridiculous anti-Semitic comments of Louis Farrakhan and some of the other radical stands they've taken, he blasted President Obama when Mr. Obama sadly and tragically announced that he favored redefining marriage. Louis Farrakhan blasted him in really strong terms, but he's welcome, and his business is welcome in Chicago. How about this? Philadelphia City Council, they're considering a resolution condemning Chick-fil-A for what one city leader called anti-American attitudes that promote hatred, bigotry, and discrimination. And City Councilman Jim Kenney sent a letter to Chick-fil-A President Dan Cathy telling him to, quote, take a hike and take your intolerance with you. Does he not realize the irony of that statement? Councilman Kenney, I strongly encourage you to look in the mirror and to say those words because that's where they belong. Take a hike and take your intolerance with you. You are the one, sir, being intolerant. And the city council is being un-American and promoting hatred, bigotry, and discrimination by telling a fine, law-abiding company that the CEO does not have the right to support marriage. What kind of intolerance and bigotry is that? Let's expose it.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Billy Graham offers his support for Chick-fil-A earlier this week, or a few days back, at the end of last week. He publicly put out a word of encouragement supporting his good friends, Truett Cathy and his son, Dan Cathy, who lead Chick-fil-A, and appreciated Governor Mike Huckabee's leadership for encouraging Americans to support Chick-fil-A on August 1st, which is today. Okay, switching gears now, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to put out a controversial question for you. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world. We focus on moral and cultural issues. If you listen to this show regularly, you know that with all of the political things going on every day, with all of the conservative attacks on President Obama and liberal attacks on conservatives and back and forth, you don't hear a lot of that from me. And aside from me referencing President Obama's unfortunate stance on redefining marriage, you're not hearing his name mentioned. You're not hearing me mention the name Mitt Romney. And I've said critical things about Mr. Romney and critical things about Mr. Obama. You're not, this is not a political talk show. This is not a conservative talk show. This is kingdom-based, word-based, faith-based. And based on that, we evaluate things in our society. And those of you who feel otherwise either don't listen to me or have prejudged and are not hearing me, because it's totally clear. And I don't need to say another word about that, because those who listen know. So I'm going to put out a controversial question, because to me, this is a kingdom issue, not a political issue. All right. Many of you listening say that you support marriage as God intended it, that you absolutely oppose redefining marriage, and you absolutely oppose abortion and other views like that that we share in common. And yet some of you voted for Barack Obama to be president. I could not do that in good conscience. It's questionable about voting for Mitt Romney. If the election was today, I believe I would. But there are questions there. Certainly, good conscience, I could not possibly vote for Barack Obama. But I warned you before he was elected that he would be the most radical pro-gay activist and pro-abortion president in our nation's history. And I had grave concerns about where he would stand with Israel. Well, now that the Democratic Party as a whole is saying that they are going to endorse redefining marriage as part of their platform, it's to be formally decided next month at the convention, but that's what they're saying now, the stakes are even higher. And Reverend Bill Owens, who was on with us a few weeks back, black pastor, civil rights leader, has now launched a strong campaign calling for accountability here and saying that those who have faithfully voted democratically in the black community will not any longer. This is what he had to say at the National Press Club.
The president is in the White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was a leader in that movement. And I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. So the president has forgotten the price that was paid. Where people died, where they suffered, where they gave their blood to have equal rights in the United States. And for the homosexual community and for the president to bow to the money, as Judas did with Jesus Christ, is a disgrace, and we're ashamed. We will not take it back. We will not back down. That we are going to take action across this country to change the course that this president is carrying us in.
All right. And Reverend Owens is saying plainly that he and thousands of pastors with him and many of their constituents will not vote for Barack Obama. And this is the Coalition of African American Pastors. I want to ask you now, if you voted for Barack Obama in the first election, the last election, or if you are a person of color and you have historically voted democratically, or if you're a Jew and you've historically voted democratically for the Democrats, now, in light of Mr. Obama's stance, in light of the Democratic Party actually saying they're going to make it part of their platform to redefine marriage, and they're getting a ton of money from gay activist organizations, make no mistake about it, Can you now vote again for Mr. Obama? If you voted for him last time, in light of what is clear now and in light of what the Democrats are saying, can you vote for him again? Or does this change things for you? You may sit out the election. You may vote for an independent. You may vote for Mitt Romney. I'm simply asking, will you not vote for Barack Obama again based on this? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or are you still going to vote for him? I want to talk to you. I want to find out where you're coming from. All right? This is a question I'm asking. It's a sensitive question, but you better believe it's something we need to talk about. And I want to have an honest dialogue. Now, if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus or you don't hold to biblical values, then these issues will not influence you. In fact, you may be cheering him on. And look, I want to make this plain. I'm not out to shame anyone. I'm not out to say I told you so. I'm not out to say, you see, you didn't listen to me then, you're going to listen to me now. No, this is not about me. This is not about who's right or who's wrong and who said this or who said that. It's a matter of, are we going to stand for what's right? Now, you may want to challenge me on perspective. Okay, I'll take that challenge. That's fine. But these issues are so fundamental to me. If I know personally that a candidate is pro-abortion, I cannot in good conscience vote for that candidate. If I had to sit at an election out, I would sit it out. But I cannot vote for that candidate. At the same time, if that candidate is for redefining marriage, which is the ultimate assault on family, if that candidate is for it, under no circumstances could I vote for them. They may be the best for the economy. They may be the best for national security. They may be the best for businesses. Ultimately, God's blessing will not be on them, and I could not in good conscience vote for them. And also, if I knew that they opposed standing with Israel on principle, I could not vote for that candidate. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Does that concern me? Oh, that concerns me far less than the stances he has taken in the past, which makes me question how deeply his moral conservative convictions run. But under no circumstances could I vote for Barack Obama. I couldn't the last time. I absolutely could not this time. And for any of you listening that say this has to do with race, then the racism is coming from you. If you're telling me, that I would not vote for him because of race, then the racism is coming from you. I don't have to be gentle about that. I don't have to apologize for it. I can just tell you the truth. However, the stakes are very, very high in terms of our nation's well-being. And we are responsible as kingdom people. I don't identify as Republican. I don't identify as Democrat. I identify as a follower of Jesus, and I vote accordingly. I'm not saying it's a sin to be affiliated with a party, but I am not and cannot be in my own conscience. But stakes are high in terms of what we do regarding righteousness. All right, right to the phones. John in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I voted for President Obama the first time around, but I will not be voting for him this time.
And the reasons being?
Well, this public stance on supporting. He went as far as to say that he supports gay marriage.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say that, you know, he claims that he's a Christian. It's one thing to say that he doesn't support it, but he's not going to get in the way of it. He's going to allow whoever wants to marry someone gay and participate or be a part of gay marriage. It's one thing to say you support it, and it's another thing to say, well, I'm not going to get in anybody's way or try to prevent them from doing it because I don't
right.
believe him. But he took it to the next level. He went as far as to say, I support it. And how you can say that and call yourself a Christian from reading my Bible, I don't see how it adds up.
Yeah, well, John, bless you for your integrity there. In point of fact, there is a plague in America today of a pseudo-Christianity, of a false Christianity, of a Christianity that says, well, everything comes down to love. You love your neighbor as yourself. Well, love your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean condone everything your neighbor does. Doesn't mean agree with everything your neighbor does. In fact, loving your neighbor as yourself is in the context when it's originally quoted in Leviticus 19 about the need to rebuke someone for doing wrong. That's part of loving our neighbor as ourselves. So I believe a great division is coming. It's getting clearer and clearer. At least that'll help us to stand and do what's right. Bless you, John, and may the Lord give you grace to stand for truth and righteousness. And let us pray for Mr. Obama. Let us pray for Barack Obama. And let us pray, God, your will be done in the elections. That's the only thing I can pray. I am not praying for the election of Romney or against the election of Obama. I'm praying your will be done. All right, Oliver in Houston, we had a bad connection, but he will not be voting for Mr. Obama again. We've got time for a few more calls. Dive in right now, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it's that unique predicament with live talk radio that the phone lines are jammed and the clock is ticking in the last minutes of this hour. So I want to get to as many of you as possible. 866-348-7884. Bob in Newark, New Jersey. What's your take on whether you'll be voting for Barack Obama again?
Did you say Bob?
Yes, I did. You're on, sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, doctor. This has been a troubling issue to me. I'm a lawyer here. I'm at the end of my career. And I voted for Obama. I live in a mixed community. But something that comes to mind is something that Lincoln said shortly before he died. He said, "I fear for the future of my country. The corporation has become enthroned. People in high places will mislead the people with emotional argument. Money will gather among a few, and republic will come to an end." I am troubled from listening to you today whether I can continue to view this campaign in the same light that I did. But if I either stay home or vote for Romney, it will be because I've given up on the country. I think I do not want to let this country go to uncontrolled corporate power, the banks, the insurance companies.
Yeah, but Bob, just to jump in, I respect that.
And I want to be talked out of it if you can do it, doctor.
All right, of course I'll talk you out of it. Everything comes down to morality. When you read scripture, the issue is not the economy. The economy is affected by morality. The economy is affected by fear of God or lack thereof. And we may have a total boom, but it'll collapse if God's not at the foundation. And if we're going to tamper with the very foundations of our union, which is family, and tamper with male-female relations as intended by God, you may say that you don't care about the country if you sit out, but you'll be sticking a knife in the heart of the country if you vote for someone who openly and in the name of Christianity stands against marriage and stands for the slaughter of the unborn in the womb in the most radical way that we've ever had a president. So if you could stick a knife in the heart of the country and say, "I'm helping to destroy you," or you could say, "Well, I'd rather see someone else in office than Romney or whatever." So Bob, I've got to take a bunch of calls.
Does that give me the liberty of choosing not to vote at all or voting
absolutely
for Romney?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. God bless you, Bob. Thank you, sir.
You.
All right. Sorry, I'm having to run on these calls. I'm trying to get to as many as possible. Tracy in Houston, Texas. All right. We lost Tracy, but Tracy said absolutely not. Shirley in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi there.
Hello.
Let me start by saying the last time Obama was running, the only reason he got some of our votes is because we did not have another option. It was either vote for him or the other party, so we took a chance on him. But mm-hmm. this time around, his where he stands is very clear, and he will not be getting our votes because morally we're going down the drain real fast. And if the country doesn't get a grip, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Yes, ma'am.
Between him and Romney, I'm not a big fan of Romney, but I will not be voting for Barack Obama. So where I stand is I'm going to be praying. There's going to be a lot of prayers going up So God may direct us as to what to do, because it's that saying, you know, we're basically between a rock and a hard place. What do we do in a situation like this?
This, you know, Shirley, you've nailed it. It reminds us that our hope is not in the White House. We cannot, in good conscience, vote for Barack Obama to be president. Can we vote for Mitt Romney or not? That's a debatable question. But this much we know, our hope is in God, and we need revival in the church. Shirley, thank you for your clear-headed comments. We'll stay in Boston. Chris in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Doc? I'm glad to hear you for the first time. I'm not voting for Obama. I'm voting for Romney this time around. I didn't want Bush. I thought we needed a change. Long story short is we are not using fire against fire, or we're not using our spiritual spiritual weapons against the enemy. And the enemy is in the form of a man or men, and we need to call people what they are based on biblical standards. These are reprobates. That means people without God. They don't abide by God's word. So technically speaking, they are also perverted. They've given themselves over to lust.
And Chris, just to jump in, only because I'm short on time. Yeah, the bottom line is we're talking about a rejection of fundamental biblical principles. And Tim, Suffolk County, I see you there. Can't get to the call. I see that you will not, again, vote for Barack Obama. So we have registered your point. And I'll talk about this again as we get closer. But I want to urge everyone, please hear me. I don't care what church you're part of. I don't care what group you're part of. I want to urge everyone, do not dare pray for God to cause Barack Obama to be reelected. Pray, God, your will be done. Pray, God, your best. Bring it to pass. Your will be done. But do not dare pray that you to presume to know that. And there are churches that actually do this, praying for President Obama to be reelected, or praying for him to be elected the first time. And perhaps there are churches that are praying for Mitt Romney to be elected, or they're praying for John McCain to be elected. But I'm telling you, when someone blatantly says that they want to redefine the very foundations of human life, namely male-female relationships and marriage, when they stand aggressively for the slaughter of the unborn in the womb, put Israel aside right now, put every other issue aside, you not only can you not vote for that person, but you cannot pray that God would cause them to be elected. Now, if you believe God wants to judge and destroy America, and that's why you're praying it for judgment purposes, well, it's between you and God. But we should be praying, God, your will be done. You put who you want in the White House. And the day we stand before God, friends, we are going to have to give an account for our vote, too. I am absolutely not pushing the Republican Party, and I am absolutely not campaigning for Mitt Romney. I have grave concerns, all right? I'm listen to this radio broadcast. It's not going to stir up a lot of votes for Mitt Romney, I assure you. And I hoped and prayed that I would be wrong when Mr. Obama was elected. And if he's reelected, I'll pray even harder, because we're flirting with disaster. And if Mr. Romney's elected, I'll pray hard that I'll be surprised as well. But I'm urging you, if you're in a group that is just going with the party line, break with it now. Break with it now and stand for righteousness. Okay. I want to urge every one of you listening. It's so essential in light of everything we're dealing with in our society that you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And I know many of you do, but many of you don't. And many of you that have it know someone that needs it. What we're doing is this. The book is $27.99 plus postage. Instead, this week, you can get it for $25 postage paid. Plus, we're giving you the two-hour CD interview that I had with a pro-gay minister. Make as many copies as you want of that interview and give it out. Such essential tools. Call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in the words of Paul in Ephesians 5, wake up, you sleeper, rise from the dead, Messiah will shine on you. Let us, as the body, awake to righteousness in this critical hour. Oh yes, there's no question. The pressure is building, and we are going against the tide. But friends, we will not only hold our ground, we will make progress and swim against the tide, in Jesus' name.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Yeah, my heart is normally burning, but it's burning all the more brightly today as we focus on critical issues in our society. Look at the world. That's what we do on Wednesdays, moral cultural issues, but from a kingdom perspective. This is not a conservative political talk show. This is not a show where we bash liberalism or leaders we don't agree with. This is a show where we exalt Jesus and speak the truth. And if it means speaking against a leader, if it means speaking against a company, if it means speaking against a party, we'll do that because we are speaking for the truth. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. If you've not read my article on the rise of the Intolerance Brigade, extreme intolerance, extreme bigotry, extreme exclusivity in the name of tolerance and inclusion and diversity. I encourage you to go to onenewsnow.com and read my article there on the rise of the Intolerance Brigade. Later in the broadcast, more shocking news from California that will be coming in the second half hour, and a letter that I received, an email from a public school teacher that I want to share with you in a moment. I encouraged him. I wrote him back immediately. And in fact, we posted that interaction on the blog. I just changed his first name so that we wouldn't be revealing his identity. But we posted that on our blog. So if you want to read that, just go to AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage. And you can click on the blog there. 866-348-7884. End of the last hour, I asked a question, ran out of time, couldn't take all the calls. But in light of the fact that the Democratic Party has now announced, they'll finalize this at the convention here in Charlotte next month. They've now announced that in their very platform, they are going to support redefining marriage. In their very platform, they are going to say two men or two women should have the right to marry, and they're standing for it, just as they have stood for abortion in the past. In light of that, if you voted for President Obama 4 years ago, can you in good conscience vote for him again? Now, if you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you don't consider yourself bound by the authority of Scripture or the principles of God, that's one thing. But if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, since he has been, as we predicted, as we told you he would be, I wish I would have been wrong. I wish to God I would have been wrong. But we told you plainly that he would be the most gay activist president in our history and the most pro-abortion president in our history. We told you that. When Newsweek put out their magazine cover and called him the first gay president, even though he himself was straight, they called him the first gay president. That was not a surprise. When he said his views had evolved, that he now believed in redefining marriage, they didn't evolve. He put that in writing in 1996, okay? He's been known for that for many, many years, despite other public proclamations. Now a coalition of black pastors with thousands of pastors together are telling the president and the Democratic Party, we're out of here. And the people we're influenced, we're out of here, unless you make a change. So I have no desire to embarrass anyone, say, I told you so. Not at all. But if you voted for Mr. Obama 4 years ago, can you vote for him again now in light of his horrific track record on abortion? We're talking about the slaughter of the unborn. Horrific track record on that from day one till this day. And his vocal, open, public support of redefining marriage now as a plank of the Democratic Party. Can you vote for him again? What are you going to do with the election? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to share with you some interaction that I had with a public school teacher this morning. But first, my question once again for you, very simple. This is not to humiliate. This is not to say I told you so. And this has nothing to do with race. If you say it has something to do with race, then that perception is coming from you, because it ain't coming from here. This has to do with right and wrong. This has to do with righteousness. If you voted for Mr. Obama, 2008, now that he has publicly made himself clear on these key moral foundational issues and the Democratic Party poised to have as an official part of their plank support for redefinition of marriage, will you vote for him again? We got a number of calls, folks who said, hey, we weren't informed. We didn't know. We didn't know everything that was coming. Now we know. Can't vote for him again. Want to hear your take? 866-348-7884. So on my Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, that's all one word on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown, got an email this morning from a gentleman we'll call Sandy. And he said this: hello, Dr. Brown. As I write this, it is past 1 in the morning, and I cannot sleep because of such a deep burden from the Lord. I feel profoundly called to speak out publicly on Facebook, etc., on the issue of gay activism, and feel equipped by the Lord to do so powerfully, compassionately, and effectively. But I'm ashamed to admit, I'm fearful that as a public school teacher and public figure in my community, such boldness would cost me my job and possibly career in education, and possibly compromise my ability to financially provide for my family. I have a wife and 3 very young children. I understand that in light of God's providence and protection, my fear is irrational, that I must trust him for provision and do his work regardless. I still, however, am questioning the wisdom of putting myself and my family at such risk, considering my role as a public school teacher. I have contemplated speaking out in an anonymous blog so as to publish my concerns about gay activism without public repercussion. Even this, I'm ashamed to admit, as someone who passionately loves Jesus and have been following him for 17 years. So to summarize, I think I know the right answer, but I'm humbly requesting of you, my brother in Christ, some encouragement that will help me as I step past my fears and empower me to boldly endure even devastating persecution for the name of Jesus. I suspect that you once wrestled with similar issues before you decided to reach out with compassion and resist with courage. I feel as though once I speak out, my life will never be the same and there will be no going back. Thank you for listening, and please pray for me as I wrestle through this enormous step. Pray, would you, for this gentleman? God knows who he is, all right? So we've given him the name Sandy right now because he hasn't come out publicly in this, and he wrote a private email to me. When his name is known, then it's known. But God knows who you're praying for when you pray for, quote, Sandy. Now, I just want to say, when I wrote back to him, which I was able to do immediately, I failed to mention one thing. He said, I suspect you once wrestled with similar issues before you decided to reach out with compassion, resist with courage. Actually, I didn't. I didn't wrestle with it at all. I knew the cost would be severe. I knew the attack would be severe. But I didn't wrestle with it at all because I had already crossed that line many years ago. I had already crossed that line of I'm following Jesus regardless of cost or consequence. I had already crossed the line where it was impossible to compromise and have any type of relationship with the Lord. It would be denying my very soul and denying my very Lord. So I simply recognized that the attack would be more severe spiritually and in other ways, and that the repercussions would be more severe, but I didn't wrestle with it. Not for a split second, because I knew what God wanted me to do. What I have wrestled with over the years is my tremendous love for the gay and lesbian community, and those who identify as bisexual, transgender, gay, lesbian, my tremendous love for them and the grief that I have that as I take the stands that I take, they think that I hate them and reject them. That's what I wrestle with. That's a pain that I carry. That's a tension I live with. But in terms of the cost, the consequences, the opposition, no, I never wrestled with that. By God's grace, I had already crossed that line many, many years before. So here's what I wrote back. Bless you, Sandy, and I'm absolutely standing with you. First, you have no choice in the matter. You either step out and obey or live your life in shame and retreat. You have too much of Jesus inside of you to do that. Second, I believe you should operate with real wisdom, as if every comment you make will be read around the world. In other words, careful and compassionate and clear in your communication. And then be ready to be used as a test case by the Lord in the event that your school district comes against you. They would have no legal right to do so, and there are Christian attorneys who will stand with you in a heartbeat. Are you willing to take that stand? Third, remember that one day you will meet common men, women, and children who were tortured and martyred rather than deny Jesus. What will you say to them? Fourth, listen to this radio program with your wife. It's washing the feet of a martyr's widow, live broadcast from December 6, 2010 in India. I said, listen to this radio program with your wife, one of the most moving events of my life and the most moving radio programs I'd ever been involved with. I said, listen to this radio program with your wife, then write back to me. And I closed it, forward in Jesus' name. I believe he's going to do what's right. And I want to encourage every one of you listening. Jesus lives in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus lives in you. You're his ambassador. You're his representative. When you came to follow him, you were called to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him. It meant the end of the old life and the beginning of a new life. It meant no longer living for self. It meant living to do the will of God. It meant saying no to this world's desires and no to the flesh and yes to Jesus. And now you live to do his will. 2 Corinthians 5:15. We realize now that he died for all, therefore all died, and those who live not for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose from the dead. When we say Lord, he is our Lord. When we say Master, he is our Master. We are his servants. We live to do his will. And if your interest is in self-preservation in terms of keeping your pension, keeping your job, keeping everybody happy with you, as opposed to your issue is obeying the Lord regardless of cost or consequence, then you need to look at the cross again and follow the Master. Oh, use wisdom. Of course, use wisdom. I don't look for trouble. I don't look for opposition. I don't look for fights. I don't do things that would intentionally stir people against me, but I'll do what God wants me to do by his grace, regardless of cost or consequence. How could I look him in the face and do any other? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to hear from you honestly, candidly. If you voted for Mr. Obama in 2008, can you in good conscience vote for him now in 2012? We'll start in Tampa, Florida. Paul, in all right, are you still there, Paul? No, I guess I heard an echo. Paul campaigned for Barack Obama in 2008. So he did not simply vote for him. He campaigned for him in 2008. But he said that he will not be voting for him in 2012. He won't be voting for anyone. I can respect that. Quit voting entirely. All right, just getting further info here from Andrew after we lost the call. If you listen to this broadcast, you are not going to get supercharged about voting for Mitt Romney. Now, if he's elected, I will pray for him to be the best president we've ever had, just as I prayed for Barack Obama to be the best president we've ever had. And right now, if the elections were today, I would vote for him, but with reluctance, not primarily because he's a Mormon. Really, that's not the issue to me, although it's fair if you make that an issue. But I will vote for him because I see that. Say on a list of 1 to 10 of what I want to do to change America and what I believe God's calling me to do as a believer and a leader to change America in a positive way, the vote will be around number 9 on my list because of where things are at. But under no possible circumstances could I vote for an aggressive pro-abortion president. Could I vote for a president who, as a professing Christian, wants to redefine marriage, redefine family on the most fundamental level, and put anything into a party, stand with a party anyway? I could not do this when this is a plank of their platform. Again, this will be officially confirmed at the convention next month right here in Charlotte. That being said, my hope is not in the White House. my hope is in God and in the church awakening from its slumber and doing what it's right. Nonetheless, we are responsible as we do vote. Those who say, I can't vote at all, I respect that, I understand that. But to me, something that is utterly abhorrent is to pray for the election of a specific candidate or to pray for the election of a pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president is completely abhorrent. The righteous prayer, the right prayer is, God, your will be done in the elections. God, bring into the White House the person you want to be in the White House. That's what we can agree on. But we'll hear you out when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda Ken, you're up next.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I just got an email during the break, and I guess there was a picture supposed to be attached from our daughter Megan, where her family lives here right in the Charlotte area. And she was over at Chick-fil-A, and this is Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, and places just absolutely packed out with grateful customers. And she said that, I guess she was sending me a picture from her phone of the manager addressing the crowd at the restaurant. So I asked her to call into the program. So I'm not sure if she's going to be able to or if she's willing to. But Andrew, if you get a call from Megan, I bet it would be our Megan, just to give you a heads up. 866-34-TRUTH. This, if you listen to this broadcast for any length of time, you know this is not a political talk show. This is not a conservative talk show. This is based on scripture. This is based on spiritual principles. And my issue with Mr. Obama has to do with righteousness. Has to do with righteousness, period. And I believe that if we are unrighteous before God, no matter what the president's gifts or weaknesses are, we are in deep trouble. And if we're righteous in his sight and do what's right, regardless of the weaknesses or strengths of the president, we will have blessing. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Greensboro, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. So what's your take on voting again for Mr. Obama?
My take of voting against Mr. Obama is the fact that Romney does not hide the fact that he believes in another gospel. And I feel like if we put someone over this nation who openly believes in a different gospel, that this nation will never prosper. Every time he says, God bless America, what goes through my mind is, what God is he talking about?
Well, Brenda, I respect that. I absolutely respect your position there. Would you say, though, that someone who stands for killing babies in the womb and stands for redefining marriage and claims to be a Christian is also following another God?
I do not agree with those stands. I am against abortion. I am against homosexuality because of the Word of God. But I still would not vote for anyone that openly believes in another gospel.
Right. So I guess the choice would be then to sit out the election, right? Because in good conscience, you can't vote for someone who wants to kill babies in the womb and redefine marriage. And I fully respect what you're saying about Mr. Romney. I no argument with you about that. I respect your position there. So, I mean, for me, if I was in your shoes,
and I'll let the Lord lead me.
Amen.
Yeah, I should go.
Got it. All right. Thank you for weighing in, Brenda. And may the Lord lead all of us. Thank you. Friends, I will not argue with you if you say that you can't vote for Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. I won't argue with you. My take is that so few of the candidates have really known the Lord. So few of them have been born again in a way that they really live by biblical values. Because of that, I'm not looking for any of the present candidates to lead us based on biblical conviction. But I respect that. To me, then, if I was in Brenda's shoes, it's impossible for me to vote for Mr. Obama. Impossible. And it would be impossible for me to vote for Mitt Romney, which would either mean I vote for an independent candidate or I have to sit the election out. 866-34-TRUTH. Ken in Tampa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing? As again, I called about a month ago. This is Ken. Suresh David, you visited while you were down here in Tampa a few months back, 6 months ago, I guess.
Yes, had a great time with the folks there. Well, good to talk to you again, Ken.
I'm just calling because we just happened to have one of the fellows that works with Chick-fil-A stand up in our congregation on Shabbat and talk about the values of the managers he knows. He doesn't own them one, or he just happened to work with them. And I work with stores like that in the air conditioning, you know, side of things. But he just said the quality of the people, the way they treat their people, and all that are just shows a bright light on the gospel that they believe.
Oh yeah,
he said right in front of everybody, they have no compunction about hiring somebody that's gay. They will not eliminate you from being hired for that reason. So,
yeah, absolutely. In point of fact, they have non-discrimination policies, and they're going to treat everyone the same and serve every customer the same. That's this complete outrage. Well, they're not going to serve people. No, they're not discriminating. The president and CEO says he supports marriage, and the state of our nation is such, even though 31 out of 31 states, including Florida, where you are, and North Carolina, where I am, have said marriage is the union of one man and one woman, still someone takes that stand, it gets blasted as if they're doing something controversial. It's controversial to do the opposite, actually, and then completely misrepresent it. Again, folks, if you haven't read my article on the rise of the intolerance brigade, go to onenewsnow.com and read it. So, Ken, real quick, as far as the elections, what are you going to do?
I don't vote on politicians because of their, you know, views about moral issues, because I've not seen the Republican Party do anything to overturn abortion in the last 30 out of 40 years that they've run the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to do that. They're using this as a political ploy to get some people. The real deep-seated Republican people are very cynical against faith. You know, when you look at people like Cheney and so forth.
There's a Republican establishment which pretty much
I used to work for one of them that was Tom McGann's shoes.
Yeah,
very ultra-right. You know, like Gore Vidal.
To jump in. The fact is there is a Republican establishment and there is a Democrat establishment. And if you come in to the Republican Party, say, and you are absolutely committed to standing for truth and standing for righteousness and fighting aggressively for certain principles, you might be shut down. Hey, you're a new kid on the block, and we have a system here. So, in point of fact, I am not putting my trust in the Republican Party. I oppose more of the stances of the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. However, I am absolutely not putting my trust in the Republican Party. And if I vote for Mr. Romney, it is more of a vote against Mr. Obama. And we need to pray for God to awaken his people, because that's the real deep issue. And of course, speaking to a brother from a Messianic congregation, a great concern in terms of where Mr. Obama has stood regarding Israel. Would Mr. Romney do better? He's saying he would. God knows what's coming. All right. We come back. I'm going to share some stuff with you from California that's going to cause your hair to stand on end. So stick around. In light of what's happening in our society, friends, can anyone deny that it is absolutely essential that you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and master the contents of it? To get it to you in an attractive way, you can get it this week, $25 postage paid, and we're sending you with it for free the CD 2-hour interview with a pro-gay minister. Make as many copies as we want of that to give out. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Why not become a torchbearer? Hold our hands up as we speak Jesus' revolution to the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if you live in the United States of America, and in particular in a state called California, please listen carefully to what I am about to share with you. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday, which means our focus is on the world, moral, and cultural issues. And first hour and a half of the broadcast, I covered Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, which is happening all over America, and the hypocrisy, the outrageous hypocrisy of those in the name of tolerance and diversity and inclusion who will not have Chick-fil-A in their region or rejecting them, saying they won't have them. Also talked about Coalition of Black Pastors. Right now, about 3,500 black pastors nationally who are saying we are standing against the Democratic Party and against Mr. Obama because of their aggressive stance in behalf of redefining marriage, even incorporating it into the Democratic Party platform that they will stand for redefining marriage. Talked about that and talked about a public school teacher who knows it could cost him everything if he speaks out against gay activism, but he feels to do it with compassion and wisdom. What does he do? How does he overcome his fears? We talked about that, but I'm shifting gears now. In particular, for parents and in particular for people living in California, please help get this message out. At midnight tonight, Eastern Standard Time on townhall.com, my article entitled "The California Senator's Attack on Parental Rights" will be posted. So be looking for that. Midnight Eastern Standard, townhall.com. A California senator's attack on parental rights. I began the article by saying this. 2 months ago, I wrote, as of today, it is legal in California to give hormone blockers to an 11-year-old boy in order to delay the onset of puberty. But it could soon be illegal for a 17-year-old with unwanted same-sex attractions to receive professional counseling, even with parental consent. Now, are you ready? California Senator Ted Lieu, L-I-E-U, has removed any doubt as to why he introduced Senate Bill 1172. Senate Bill 1172 would ban sexual orientation conversion therapy for California minors, even if they or their parents want it. In other words, 17-year-old boy says, I'm not happy with same-sex attraction. I believe God made me as a man to be with a woman. I want to have a family. I believe scripturally or morally or socially that same-sex attraction is wrong, and I'd like professional counseling and therapy. Illegal! If he wants it or she wants it and the parents want it, it would be illegal, according to this bill. Now, Senator Ted Lieu has removed any doubt as to why he introduced the bill. Are you ready? Quote, "The attack on parental rights is exactly the whole point of the bill because we don't want to let parents harm their children." May I repeat that? This is a quote from Senator Lieu. This is why he introduced SB 1172, which is making its way through the legislature in California with almost complete Democrat support, by the way. Quote, "The attack on parental rights is exactly the whole point of the bill because we don't want to let parents harm their children." End quote. Friends, this is an absolute outrage. Every parent in California needs to contact their senators and urge them to vote against this ridiculous and wrong-headed bill. Oh, we'll be back with more. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It is The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Talk about government overreach. Talk about government getting involved where it ought not to be getting involved. If this is not a case of egregious government overreach, I've never seen one. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you realize what's happening in California? SB 48, Senate Bill 48, is law. Been law now this entire year. The mandatory celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender history for all classes, all districts, K through 12. Teachers can't opt out. Students can't opt out. Parents cannot request that the students opt out of this. And this is about the seventh bill, gay activist educational bill. Look, friends, this is not a matter of we need to stop bullying. Are we having fat pride days in our school? Are we having autism pride days in our school? Are we celebrating the history of fat Americans? Are we celebrating the history of autistic Americans? What's my point? My point is that fat kids get bullied. And autistic kids get bullied, and people get bullied because they're different. People get bullied for all kinds of reasons. So we do what we can to teach our kids to treat everyone with respect, especially the kids that seem to be different. If some kid in school gets picked on, encourage your kid, hey, have them come over. We'll make them a sandwich. Let's meet their family. Reach out in love to everybody. That's what we should be modeling. That's what we should be teaching. If the boy is called a sissy, you need to stand up for him and say, don't call him names. That's not right. If the kid identifies as gay and says, I want to be called a sissy, which is not going to be the case. I mean, it's a demeaning thing. But if he says, hey, I'm a boy and I like boys, and that's why they call me a sissy, well, you befriend that kid and you show him the love of God. And you stand up against the bullies. Absolutely. But the reason that there's the mandatory celebration of gay activist history in the kids' classroom is to promote an agenda. It goes beyond the bullying issue. It's to promote an agenda. It is to re-educate and indoctrinate kids. Where were the parents of California when this became law? You say, yeah, but it was voted on by the Senate. And yes, but there was a call to get it on the ballots in 2012. There was a call to get it on the ballots so that people would be able to vote. And they needed, 550,000 signatures just to get it on the ballots? And the attempt failed? Now, I know many never even knew about it. And as parents, you're outraged to hear this, and you're shocked and grieved. Maybe you've pulled your kids out of school. You've been able to do that. Or you're making up for the godless curriculum or the godly curriculum in your home or whatever. I'm not judging each individual. There are many, many fine Christians parents in California. But I'm wondering, how do these things happen on your watch? Oh, trust me, I asked the same question to me. Things here in North Carolina, things in Charlotte where we live now. My home state, New York, I'm not there to be involved in as much as if I lived there. How do these things happen on our watch? These are fair questions to ask. But now this extreme overreach, you've got to understand the consequences of this with SB 1172. And I'm urging every one of you living in California to contact your senator and to say to your senator, vote against this. Vote against this or you'll lose my vote next time around. Senator Liu, married with children, married to a woman, right? He's married with children, said, quote, he got the idea for the bill after seeing a television special last fall about adults who had gone through this kind of therapy, then the professional counseling to help with unwanted same-sex attractions. They had gone through this kind of therapy as children. He said he was struck by their description of traumatic experiences, confusion, depression, and suicidal thoughts. So, maybe good motivation behind it, but you do not get involved with ridiculous government overreach like this. He's now appointed himself the guardian of the children of California. He's now the arbiter of what's best for them, and he's now the ward over the parents of his state. So not only does this bill make it illegal for a minor with with parental consent at that, to receive counseling or therapy. Bear in mind, if a 15-year-old kid, let's say a 10-year-old kid went into a doctor, counselor, with parental consent, and told the doctor, "I'm convinced I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. I know it. I've known it since I was 3. And the parents say, "Yeah, it's clear to us. We have a few kids, and he's different. We call him by a different name. We call him she." And he says, I want to go on hormone blockers, and I don't want to go through, you know, when they call it puberty, whatever it is, I want to go through that, and I want to be a girl. I want to have sex change surgery as soon as I can. It's legal in California to say, okay. It's legal for parents to put that kid on hormone blockers. It's legal to get professional counseling that would prepare them for sex change surgery later in life, but it's illegal for a male who says, I don't want to be attracted to men, or a female who says, I don't want to be attracted to women, to go to that same doctor and say, could you help me deal with these unwanted same-sex attractions? According to this bill, it would become illegal. This is absolutely outrageous. This is not something that you want to have to explain to the next generation as to how you sat by and let this become law in your state. By the way, the bill would also make it really difficult for an adult to receive counseling, because you would go to the counselor, the psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist, and you'd have to sign all these disclaimers. I understand this won't work. I understand that this could have harmful effects. Oh, you're going to do great with that kind of motivation and encouragement. It's not going to work. Could harm you. Still want to try? No thanks. Now look at this. The bill has the enthusiastic support of gay activist organizations, gay politicians. It's making its way through the legislature with almost total Democratic backing. But there's some politicians who are exposing the absurd nature of the bill. So there was just an article in the Orange County Register by Kim Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, quoting Assemblyman Donald Wagner, who explained, Republican, by the way, quote, "The default of this legislature is to assume authority over parents by getting invested in issues of medicine, which is something it is not qualified to do, especially regarding matters of medical decisions made between parents and children. The legislature has no business telling parents how to raise their kids," he said, "nor is it appropriate for a bunch of legislators without medical training to judge the effectiveness of a particular therapy." He said, "I'm not a doctor." They're not going to vote that out of all therapies that go on in California, can you imagine what goes on in California? What therapies can go on legally? And, you know, "I believe I'm an alien incarnate. I'd like counsel as to how to find my inner alien." Probably do that without a problem. But this would be illegal. Reyes also noted in the article that 3 experts consulted by the Orange County Register said they were not aware of the California state legislature ever outlawing a specific kind of therapy. It's never happened. There are a lot of wacko therapies out there, a lot of weird therapies, a lot of controversial therapies, but not one of them has been outlawed. But this one, helping, this, understand this, we're not talking about taking a kid in a straitjacket. Parents say, "You came out as gay, that's it, not in our house." And they put that kid in some straitjacket and carry him over to some place and lock him in a room, and someone's going to try to deprogram them from being gay. No, we're not talking about something oppressive and wrong like that. God forbid. We're talking about someone who says, "I'd like help. I want to try to come to the root of this. I want to try to discover why I have these attractions. I want to help to change, to outgrow them, to develop heterosexual attractions. I'd like help." And a counselor's going to look at them like they look at thousands of other people and say, "Okay, let's try to get to the root of this, and let's see what's going on, and let's see how we can help you." And the parents said, "Yeah, we'd like that. We have biblical convictions that homosexual practice is wrong, and therefore we all want to see change come. Or, you know, I just want to have a normal family. I want to get married and reproduce kids of my own with my spouse and have a family, or just socially for whatever reason." Illegal. Let me go further. Mark Mason, the administrative manager at the Board of Behavioral Sciences, which licenses counselors and therapists in California, stated that, quote, "therapies themselves are not regulated. We regulate individuals or licensees, and we do not have the ability to or statutory authority to ban a certain type of therapy. Oh, but a bunch of legislators are going to ban this. Tell me there's not ulterior motivation. You tell me this is not a radical pro-gay activist stance. Even the left-leaning pro-gay activist American Psychological Association, quote, does not approve or ban therapies, according to Rhea Farberman, an APA spokesman. The association has said that sexual reorientation efforts are not effective, but hasn't designated such therapy as an ethical violation. So even them, with all their biases, saying, yeah, we don't think this helps, it's not an ethical violation. People are trying to make it illegal. Parents, California, what are you going to do about this?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before I get back to this outrage in California, just a quick report from my daughter, Meg. Megan was at Chick-fil-A today, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. I was sent pictures by a colleague earlier of the building just packed out. And I've been told that they've had a massive surge of support since calls for a gay boycott of Chick-fil-A. But she said it was packed, and that is in all caps with three exclamation points. The manager addressed the crowd at Chick-fil-A. Have you ever heard of this happening? He was beaming and said he wanted to thank us all so much. It means the world to us and the team, he said, to have your support, and on and on. And then they let us all in the Chick-fil-A cheer. What a sweet, wonderful man. Thanks for that report from the front lines of the culture wars. Come on, eat more chicken, as they say. Let me just pause here for 1 minute before I get back to the outrage in California. Got an email question. It's actually posted on the Ask Dr. Brown page. Someone's saying, look, I absolutely believe in what the Bible says, and Chick-fil-A is wonderful, and they're the best, and the customer service is the best, and they're so patient with me when I come in with my kids, and we've got our picky orders and all of that. She said, but, I don't want to seem to be hating homosexuals, so I'm not sure if I should go there today. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, do we need help in America. Oh, boy, do we need help in the Church of America. What a sweet lady writing honestly. I said, hey, the exact opposite. Number one, we're doing what's right, and we're honoring a company for doing what's right. And we're standing up against the absurd intolerance and bigotry of those who say that if the president and CEO of a company says, yeah, I support marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We support family organizations because we're Christians. That people are going to blast them and vilify them and say, your store is not welcome in our city? We're standing for tolerance. We're standing for inclusion. And we're also saying, yeah, marriage is best. The day that we can't stand for what's right because someone's going to think that we're haters, well, how can we stand for anything? How can you stand against human trafficking because the human traffickers are going to think we're haters? How are you going to stand against drug abuse? The drug dealers are going to think we're haters. How are you going to stand for the unborn? The abortion providers are going to think we're haters and down the list. How are you going to stand against polygamy? The polygamists are going to think we're haters. God help us. So back to California. Senator Liu, Senate Bill 1172, to ban sexual reorientation therapy or sexual conversion therapy. Ban it from minors, even with parental consent, to make it very difficult for adults. He states that, quote, the facts show that you cannot change someone's sexual orientation. And when you try to do that, it harms them. The only legitimate study showing that highly motivated homosexuals can change their orientation was conducted by Robert Spitzer, a renowned psychiatrist. He retracted a study this past year, noting that there was no scientific reasoning to back up his findings, so there's no factual proof that this type of therapy works. First, even if what he's saying was true, which it's not a line of it is true, but even if what he's saying was true and accurate, why there are plenty of therapies that are questionable as to how they work. What's the success rate of counseling someone, helping someone with schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder, whatever the issues are? And plenty of people are frustrated because they tried something that didn't work. And by the way, there have been no scientific studies demonstrating with any type of conclusive data at all that when someone says, hey, I'd like help with my unwanted same-sex attraction, that the counsel they receive is harmful. But to respond to the points he made, first, there are thousands of former homosexuals who testified a significant or even complete change in their sexual orientation, be it through religious conversion or professional therapy or both. This age of so-called tolerance and inclusion, why are they ignored or mocked or ridiculed? Why should we believe the testimonies of gays who tried to change but couldn't, while refusing to believe the testimonies of gays who did change? Second, there are actually decades of professional studies documenting the possibility of change, and I document them in detail in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And I also talk about the suppression of scientific evidence in these very issues. And third, Robert Spitzer did not retract his study. In fact, the editor of the journal said, you can't retract it. You've got no reason to retract it. He simply apologized for the study after years of suffering ugly and unrelenting attack from gay activists and their allies. And by the way, he did not discover that his findings were scientifically inaccurate after further research. He just questioned what he did and apologized. But friends, all this is secondary to the larger matter at hand, namely the extraordinary attempt of the government of California to tell parents and their children that regardless of their spiritual convictions, moral convictions, social convictions, or scientific convictions, minors with unwanted same-sex attractions cannot receive professional counseling to help them change, even with parental consent. So to repeat the words of Senator Lew, the attack on parental rights is exactly the whole point of the bill. So parents of California, are you going to let this bill pass on your watch? All of you listening in San Diego and K-Praise, help get this message out. Remember, midnight tonight, Eastern Standard Time, on townhall.com, my article, which I've just shared with you, A California Senator's Attack on Parental Rights, will be posted immediately. Tweet it to your friends. Share it on Facebook. Help it go viral as an article. And right now on onenewsnow.com, you can read my article on the rise of the intolerance brigade. You know what's fascinating? A year and a half after publication, yesterday, Queer Thing Happened to America was number three in gay and lesbian history on Amazon.com. Number eight, gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon.com. The book continues to get out and have its impact. I want to strongly encourage you, take advantage of a special offer we have today. The book is a 700-page hardcover. It normally sells for $27.99 plus postage, and it's a lot of postage because of the size of that book. This week, $25 postage paid, but we're including with the book the CD of my two-hour interview with a pro-gay minister that is just an eye-opener. It exposes so much serious error despite this man's sincerity. And we want you to make as many copies of that CD as you can and give them away to your friends once you get it. So these are great resources, as Randy in shipping today said, tools for the revolution. Take advantage of this. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. You'll get the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and the two-hour CD of my interview with a pro-gay minister, eye-opening interview. We got amazing calls as well from people who've been changed to the very core of their being, including their sexual orientation, by the gospel. So great tools for you. And friends, you just listen to the news every day, you realize this is more relevant than ever. We must be educated. We must be equipped. We must be ready to stand for that which is right. My bottom line today, friends, we are called by heaven to stand against the onslaught of moral relativism and political correctness. We are called by heaven to swim against the tide. Join me in standing for what is right and true, regardless of cost or consequence.